Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in to a Tuesday edition of the program live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Glad to have you with us today. And as always, plenty to get to in the hour. If you can't be with us live at 11 o'clock, don't forget the show is available as a podcast. We're always there on Apple Podcast and on SoundCloud as well. And I've kind of gotten away from starting the show with our coronavirus daily updates. It's still obviously out there. It still is greatly affecting our way of life. Yesterday I mentioned, would you go out this week, yesterday when it happened, in the next couple weeks with the virus still at the same level it is now, would you go out to a restaurant? And it was interesting to hear, even at 50% capacity. So, you know, I've seen pictures where tables have been removed or they've got caution tape blocking off certain tables. So it was interesting to get some of your responses to that yesterday. And I wanted to bring back, or at least today, mention the coronavirus, because I think locally in sports, like our high school sports, our community sports that we think about, and obviously with school out through the end of the year, which is almost here, the traditional school year, everybody's now kind of turning their attention to what happens in the fall with football, what happens in the fall with school. Am I going to have to do virtual e-learning again? What am I going to do for work if I can get back to work and kids are still at home because school, you can't get back to the building yet? That's kind of, I think, the number one thought on everybody's mind right now. Maybe down beyond that is sports and when does college football, is it going to be played? But school, if you've got kids in school especially, it's a big deal. And I saw that right now today there's some hearings going on with the Senate. Of course, it's taking place virtually because there have been a number of recent, it seems, I don't want to call it an outbreak, but a number of administration officials in the White House, you know, three, four that have been recently diagnosed with the coronavirus. But Dr. Fauci telling the Senate just a little bit ago, like 10 minutes before we came on the air, this is a quote: even at the top speed we are going, we don't see a vaccine playing in the ability of individuals to get back to school this term. He went on to say that a return to school hinges on the availability of testing and of potential treatments. He continued on, states, even if they are opening at or reopening at an appropriate pace, which many of them are and will, when you pull back on mitigation, you will see some cases appear. The ability to respond to those cases will determine whether you are able to go forward. So obviously, you know, when things start to reopen, even at 50% in restaurants and even other, you know, haircut and nail salons and other industries and businesses open, you know that there's likelihood that there'll be some additional viruses. I think the death rate, cases of the virus, that is, I think the death rate, hospitalizations, and even more importantly, ventilator usage are kind of the important figures to watch. So those are kind of things that at least I'll be paying attention to here in the coming weeks as Indiana gets back on track, we hope, with Governor Holcomb's plan. But I did think the comment from Dr. Fauci was very interesting about what he sees with school and the ability for school to take place in the coming future as well. Welcome into the show today. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a moment. We'll take a look at a recent National Federation High School meeting where they discussed shot clock. Boy, that's something that we've had some discussions about, and I'm sure it'll come up again on the show. They have voted down a proposal regarding the shot clock, and we'll talk about that. Also, the NCAA put out yesterday, we knew this, the Final Four coming to Indianapolis in 2021, but a couple other interesting announcements about the 2021 college basketball season that I will mention in the headline segment as well. And also today, I really, you know, I'm a fairly young guy. I just turned 36 a couple months ago. I try to really recognize, because I know a lot of them, and even if I don't know them, it's important to me as someone that loves sports and why sports are important here locally. I try to recognize when we have an elder statesman pass away. And obviously, unfortunately, in the last couple of years, we've had far too many. And I think about people like Charlie Jenkins, Ted Throckmorton, Gene Coomer, and there have been others. Mr. Pop from Silver Creek, from Sellersburg, we just mentioned him a few weeks ago. And we have another, what I would call, legend of sports in this area that passed away last week, Roger Howard. And we'll tell you about him, kind of a remembrance, an obit for him coming up in our headlines today. That's a look at the Zaxby's headlines. Don't forget, Zaxby's is open. They've got quite a system for their drive-through due to some unusual crowds, as we all know right now, going through the drive-through. They have locations at Jeffersonville and New Albany for Zaxby's. Okay, Zaxby's headlines, that's segment one. We also are going to get to Trey Kaufman, second part of the interview with him that we aired yesterday. We've got about 4 minutes or so left in that interview. We'll play that a little bit later in this segment if you want to catch that. It's originally from the Indiana High School Hoops podcast that I do with Chris May, who's the director of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. I don't know exactly where we cut off yesterday. I don't remember if we had gotten to all the recruiting questions that we asked Trey or not, but it's available as a podcast if you want to catch it there, or we'll play the final portion of that interview that we did not play yesterday coming up here in just a few minutes. Later in the show, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, he's with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Plenty to chat with Greg about today. Also today, we have Hayden Casey, the new Christian Academy coach, who replaces Steve Kerber, coming up later in the program. And then we'll wrap up today with a quick chat with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com later in the show this hour. So plenty to get to today. That's the show lineup. Don't forget to stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you spend $15 or more in the store, you're eligible for 50% off a large bone-in ham at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's a great special. Don't know how long it'll last. Make sure you head there and take advantage of that special offer. All you got to do is spend $15 in the store. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A meeting recently, the National Federation of State High School Associations, and it was voted down by the leaders of all the states that make up the NFHS organization, voted down a proposal that was going to establish a 35-second shot clock for boys and girls basketball around the country. Now, I don't think that's a big surprise that it was voted down. There are some states and some areas of the country where they really push for that. And to be quite honest, as someone that loves basketball, I think to help the game in our country, that if you're playing with a shot clock in the pros and you're playing with a shot clock in college, learning to play that way as a youngster, even in a youth league or a for-fun rec league, is going to help you become a better player down the road. With that said, I think it would be impossible to institute in high school basketball, let alone youth basketball for kids as they really are beginning to learn the game. The interesting thing here, and the reason I mention this, is because it's come up a number of times. Should we vote? Should we not vote? Sometime there have been a vote, sometime there hasn't. But the committee that heard this earlier also voted on another proposal regarding shot clocks. This would have allowed individual states to say, yes, we want to have a shot clock in our state. So say Indiana said, yeah, we want to have a shot clock. Kentucky's remained, no, we don't. That would be okay as long as the governing body in that state, which in Indiana, it's the Indiana High School Athletic Association, as long as they wanted to
institute that and it was approved in the state, then they could. But this keeps things across the board in high school basketball the same. Of course, a shot clock in high school has been something that has been debated and debated for many, many years. And I'm sure that this won't be the last time we talk about a shot clock in high school basketball. Yesterday, NCAA putting out that the road in 2021 college basketball is going to end in Indiana. And we knew that the Final Four in 2021 was going to be in Indianapolis. What we did not know that was included in this little announcement or this little social media deal yesterday was that, and I think this is just outstanding for our state, in Evansville in 2021, Evansville will host the Division II basketball championship, which for years Evansville and Louisville at times hosted what was called the Elite Eight, where they brought the final eight in Division II basketball together and played all the way out until a national championship. They do it a little bit different now, but the Division II national championship will be in Evansville in 2021. And also Division III, which is another great level of basketball, it's going to be played right here in the state. The northern part of our state, it's going to be at Fort Wayne. So how cool is that? In the year 2021, of course, the Final Four, I think, where it belongs in Indianapolis. It's a wonderful site for sporting events and for the Final Four at Lucas Oil. But you go to the north, you got the D3 championship in Fort Wayne. You go to the south, you got the D2 championship in Evansville. That's really cool. And I'm going to say right now, my goal is, and I haven't seen any of the dates, my goal is to see all three championship games in 2021 in person. D1 in Indianapolis, D2 in Evansville, D3 in Fort Wayne, as long as they don't land on top of each other. And I can't imagine that the NCAA would do that. I think that would be kind of a fun thing to accomplish or a fun thing to see in 2021. So pretty cool stuff. Also, I want to wrap up the headlines portion of the segment with kind of a remembrance. Roger Lee Howard, 82 years old. He passed away last week on Tuesday, May 5th of 2020. Roger Howard, born in New Albany, and was part of the first graduating class at Providence High School, which would have been the class of 1955. He was really the first standout basketball player for Providence. Of course, one of the first players for Providence all the way around, to be quite honest. And he remains the all-time leading scorer and was the first player to score 1,000 or more points in his four-year career as a Pioneer. Also was a great golfer. He was on the Providence golf team, led them to the first ever state tournament appearance for that school in any sport. And then after high school, went on to play college basketball at the University of Dayton on a basketball scholarship. He played on the freshman team. Remember those freshman college basketball teams? You couldn't play on the varsity team at that time. Led them in scoring, and then he went on to finish his college career at Bellarmine, and he played on both the basketball and golf teams at Bellarmine University. His family, he had a son that was part of a great Floyd Central team that made a run into the state tournament. He had another son that went to New Albany that was a part of the basketball program there. So when you think about basketball in the area, great basketball family. Our thoughts and prayers to the family of Roger Howard. And I believe that the visitation and the funeral for Mr. Howard is actually today taking place in New Albany. But we wanted to recognize him as we try to do so many kind of the historical figures that maybe from years gone by we don't always talk about or recognize that really played an important role of basketball or sports here in the area. And so today we recognize Roger Howard. All right, that's our Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday program. Also, later in the show, I want to mention that we have our senior spotlight. It's Marquez Jordan. I've known Marquez forever. Shouldn't forget his last name. Marquez Jordan of Jeffersonville, baseball player. We'll be profiling him today as we do every day, taking a look at a senior that unfortunately lost their entire senior year. But to close this first segment, we've got about 4 minutes left of an interview. This is from the Indiana High School Hoops podcast with Dennison and May, myself and Chris May, who runs the Hall of Fame in Newcastle. In this coronavirus downtime, have started a podcast. We interview coaches and players players. Our goal is to interview the top coaches, the legendary coaches in our state, and also the top players as well. And so we had Coach Hoffman of Silver Creek paired with Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek on Monday. We just do a podcast one or two times a week. There's really not a set schedule. But there's so much interest in Trey and his recruiting, and is he going to go to Indiana? And he's such a big Indiana target that I wanted to play the interview back on the show. So yesterday we gave you about, 12 or 13 minutes of the interview. Today, here are the final 4 minutes of the interview with Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek.
And I've got to ask you as well, first of all, congratulations. You were named the Indiana Gatorade Player of the Year for this past season. And I think the last junior to do that, I believe, was Greg Oden. And so congratulations on that. And that also leads me to the question of, you were in a class, the class of 2021, that's so highly regarded as far as Indiana high school players being highly recruited, high-level talent, all these sorts of things. What do you see amongst the other guys in our state, class 2020-2021? Are you especially close with any of those other guys?
I'm more of an introvert. Not really. I guess the closest guy is Christian. I've seen him go early, but I've grown up playing against him. You know, my team and his were rivals. But no, I don't think we particularly know each other well.
Trey, a couple things to close out our chat today. You mentioned you're not a big video game guy, and you just mentioned that you're an introvert. And obviously, in interviews that I've done with you previously and this one today, you come across much older than your age and very intelligent. So when you've got some downtime and you need to get away from basketball for just a little bit, whether it's playing it or watching it or catching highlights on YouTube or studying the game, what does Trey Kaufman do? What are some of your hobbies that are non-basketball related?
I do like to hang out with friends. I'm not too much of an introvert, but you know, I do have I guess some close friends that, like I said, I like to hang out. Board games. Obviously, last year the big thing was that I did magic, but I think basketball is more of a when life is stressful, I go to that. So. If recruiting's hard, I go play basketball, you know, just to get your mind off of that. So I think, you know, it may seem boring, but at the same time, I just do it a lot. I like to hang out with friends.
I do have to ask this because I know if we don't, people will say, gosh, Matt, you had the opportunity to ask Trey and you didn't. I'm not going to get specifics on schools or recruiting and things like that. I know this is a process that you are very much meticulous about and taking your time with, but for fans listening of certain schools or for people that just generally care about you and want to know what your future looks like, do you think you'll make a decision before your senior year of basketball begins, or could you let it play out into the season, or maybe even make an announcement after the season, or are you just going to kind of take it as it comes to you and not really set a hard idea of when you'd like to end this recruiting thing?
I'd be surprised if I did it after my senior season. That said, I do think I'm just going to take my time. You know, whenever it feels right, that's when I'm making my decision. There's not a certain set date. But just whenever it feels right.
Yeah, so that's great. Trey Kaufman is our guest, and I want to finish with this. Coach Hoffman told us just a little earlier in this podcast that you, in your free time, when you have some, coach your brother's second grade team that also includes one of Coach Hoffman's kids as well. What's that experience been like? I know the kids appreciate it. The parents do as well. That's a really neat thing to see a star player in a community take time out to help coach one of the youngest groups that you could possibly have. What's that been like, and how important is that for you to have that type of connection, not only with your brother, but with other youngsters in the community that come out and watch you play on Friday nights?
It's definitely a weird connection. Obviously they come to see me play, like you said, on those Friday nights. But at the same time, I love coaching them. I love watching them get better and just have fun with the game of basketball. you know, coach did the same thing when, you know, I was their age. So I love seeing them grow, you know, especially my brother, just how, you know, excited he is and how much he, you know, likes the game of basketball as well. So just trying to guide him, and, you know, I think he may be better than me. So, which is, you know, it's hard for me to say, but I think definitely at that age he was better than me. So I'm just trying to, you know, help him pursue his dreams.
Yeah. And again, that's Trey Kaufman. That the interview wraps up right there. It's from the Indiana High School Hoops podcast with Dennison and May. It's available on SoundCloud and on Apple Podcast as well. I'll tweet it out, or I have tweeted it out, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. If you follow me, all one word, Hoosier Hills, you can get it there. But you can hear not only the full interview, we played part one yesterday with Trey, but Coach Hoffman, we have a very long interview with him about Silver Creek, about the program that has been built there, about the season getting cut short with a really great team and a great chance again to win the 3A championship. So you might want to check that out, especially if you're a Dragon fan or a Trey Kaufman fan, because you're a fan of the Hoosiers and want to know where he's going to go. You might check that out. All right, that is segment one in the books of this Tuesday program. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Some interesting things to get to with Greg. He had a column recently all about Rick Pitino and the University of Louisville and the troubles that they have. We'll talk about that. We'll talk Michael Jordan and more with Greg Doyle next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back each Tuesday. We have the opportunity to chat with Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star, and this segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, plenty of stuff to talk about, but you have been busy the last few weeks, the last month, doing some good work on the NCAA and some of their enforcement. And you had a story, a column about Louisville and Rick Pitino, who's by all intents is going to be able to coach this season for his new home, Iona, and the University of Louisville, who has some real concerning weeks and months ahead of them if they, after receiving a NCAA notice of allegation.
Yeah, as I wrote, this is a very naive take to have, and it's the thing we've all talked about for years. But why does, you know, why would somebody cheats and breaks rules and allegedly, but whatever. Why does the school then pay for it? You know, the Pitino's gone. Brian Bowen never played there. The assistants who were named as dirty, they're gone. I mean, even Tom George is gone. He did nothing wrong. They fired him with cause. He sued him, I think, but they finally settled out of court and gave him a ton of money and said, we fired you without cause. No cause. You did nothing wrong. I mean, they fired everybody. And Louisville's about to, I hope not, but I suspect they're going to get hit pretty hard. And that's going to hit a stat. Chris Mack was at Xavier when all this happened. All these players that don't get to play in the tournament in a year, two, or three, if that happens, they were in high school or middle school when this happened. And again, I get it. It's a naive kind of take. I get it. But that's the way it is. Well, how about it not be the way it is going forward? The NCAA has already decided we're going to let some independent outside people take a look at our most complex cases, and we're going to let, you know, the former FBI agents, IRS investigators, we're going to let them handle it, and we're going to let other people decide who's guilty and who's not. That's the way it's going to be. If they're going to let somebody else have control over some of their sanctions, if they're going to release some of that control that they've always had, that's a major step. Well, then so would this be a major step too, but so be it. Crush those who cheat, and yeah, you'd have to give Louisville probation. I'm not saying give them free rein to do whatever they want and fire everybody. Put them on probation, but the kind that says, you know, if it happens again, you're going to get really crushed. You can't keep doing this. You can't keep hiring coaches to do this. But don't crush Louisville. All the scumbags are gone.
You know, I think, I don't know if it was with you and we were talking about NCAA enforcement a few weeks ago, or if it's with somebody else talking about this Louisville situation. But it's amazing to me how long it takes the NCAA to act and respond. And I know there are things like the coronavirus. Obviously, there's going to be a delay there. But, you know, now that this notice of allegations has been sent, some people think it could be have no effect on the upcoming college basketball season. And again, let's hope that it's played per normal. It's going to affect likely future seasons if there is, say, an NCAA tournament ban. So, as you said, right now it involves no coaches, no players, no ADs, nobody from that previous stand, not even the school president. If it goes even further down the line, you get even more and more years away from the people it did affect. It's just a slow, methodical process that is, to me, takes way too long, that it gets even farther down the line, if that makes any sense.
Completely. That's a thing that I'm going to be naive about this and say, let's punish Rick Pitino at Iona. Let's not punish Louisville. I'll say that naive thing. But I can't go. I understand. There's just no way around how long it takes. There's a lot of people involved and have to be interviewed, and I just don't know how fast they could move. You know, you look in the United States legal system. Court cases take forever there for the same reason. There's, you know, dockets are full. There's a lot of people involved. I don't know how fast you can move. Surely you can move faster than what they do. I'll give you that. Surely it doesn't have to take 18 months, or, I mean, look at North Carolina. Did they ever get anything for all the stuff they've done wrong over the last 10 years?
Nothing of any substance.
Well, and as I wrote in my story today, that, you know, the Zion Williamson thing with Duke, you got a former marketing agent who would know, saying on the record, his Zion's mom and Zion's stepdad had their hand out. They wanted stuff to make sure their kid went to Duke. And, you know, the question is, you know, who gave them? Assuming the marketing agent isn't just lying, which is always possible, but assuming he's telling the truth, well, questions are, well then who provided the extra benefits to the Zion's family, and what did Duke know about it? But as I wrote, the NCAA has never had the stomach to investigate Duke. They never have. I covered Duke for 10 years. There's reasons to investigate them that are on the record, and the NCAA just won't do it. And now North Carolina is sort of the same thing, but they'll go after Louisville. And I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying go after everybody. Let's not move the goalposts and be distracted from what happened to Louisville was wrong. Yes, but go after everybody, and then best of all, hammer those that you catch. Don't hammer the ones that are trying to clean up the mess. It's like if there's a huge mess somewhere and the biospill people come and clean up the mess at some office building, are you going to punish the biospill people? They're just the ones that, yeah, they're in the building, but they didn't make the mess. Why are you going to punish them? Let them clean the mess up and move on.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Zion was the next thing on my list. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there and, of course, how long it takes for it to happen and what the ultimate outcome is. But Duke is a school that I think you can look at any school in the area. You think about Kentucky here in our area especially. Louisville would probably be there with Indiana, maybe a distant third. People aren't really wild about Duke. I get that feeling in most cases. I know why Kentucky isn't, obviously, but
the only people wild about Duke live in Durham or New Jersey. Yeah. That's it. No one else likes Duke. Everybody from New Jersey goes to Duke, and people in Durham like Duke because it's the cash cow. No one from Durham goes to Duke. No one from North Carolina goes to Duke. But anyway, yeah, Duke is not liked, and there's a lot of reasons for that.
And I think people will be cheering to see what happens. What happens with all this Zion stuff? And of course, it's another. It's interesting because like Louisville's players are gone. He's long gone and to the NBA and making millions and going to be a superstar, we would say. And if anything does happen, it's going to affect the same type of people that it will at Louisville. People that had nothing to do with it. I guess the difference though is that at this time, Coach K obviously is still there as the coach, and school administration is the same. So it is a lot different.
Oh, well, it's a lot different in this regard. Nothing will happen to Duke. The NCAA will say, nothing to see here. You know, when I was in Charlotte covering Duke and Carolina and NC State from, obviously, it was 97 to 03 or 04. In that time span, Duke had a number of things that any other school would get investigated for. Lance Thomas had like a $25,000 piece of jewelry from a jeweler in New York, and actually got sued by the jeweler because he wouldn't pay for it. Well, how'd you get in the first place? And why'd you have it? And why are you starting for Duke with all this happening? But But more, much worse than this, and it's in a lot of ways legal. It just shouldn't be. Duke, Coach K recruits nationally and can get whoever he wants, and there's a lot of very legit reasons why you can get whoever you want at Duke. You're going to win. You're going to get a great degree. Stick around. You know, it's a beautiful campus. All this stuff. But this is a factor too. Families, this is certain families didn't want to do the one and done thing. That the parents would follow the kid to Durham. They'd move to Durham. Chris Duhon's parents moved to Durham. He was like the number one recruit in the country almost, point guard. His family came to Durham. Carlos Boozer, one of the best power forwards in America from Alaska, his family moved to Durham. They got jobs with Duke boosters. And that was apparently legal. The NCAA, that was written about the New Orleans Times-Picayune because Chris Duhon's from New Orleans. The Times-Picayune wrote the story. It's on the record. They got parents are getting jobs from Duke boosters. NCAA never even looked at it, never even investigated them. And I hate conspiracy theories, and I hate people saying, you can't tell me this, usually that whatever comes next out of your mouth is going to be garbage. You can't tell me that this wouldn't happen somewhere else. Usually that's garbage. Not in this case. You can't tell me that would have happened anywhere else. If Louisville had parents moving from Alaska and California to Louisville, getting jobs as Louisville boosters, you don't think anybody's going to look at that?
Yeah.
It's just awful.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Hey, The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan, the Bulls documentary, I don't know that you've been watching it. It seems that most people have and been writing about it and tweeting about it. It's kind of taken over, especially Sunday night and Monday night, my Twitter feed, it seems. And when I was thinking about our chat today, I thought about this, and you may have to help me here because I don't remember exactly how old you are. I don't know exactly when you started, becoming a member of the media. And I know some of your different stops along the way, both different papers and national publications as well. But it brought me to a question. Have you ever interviewed Michael Jordan? And where were you in those Bulls years where they had the two different runs, the two different three-peats?
I am mortified to say that I've never been in the same arena with Michael, as far as I know. He was just ending as I was starting up, and the chance I would have had was 96 through 98. I was at Miami, but I was covering the Florida Marlins, and so I wasn't at any Heat games. So I never been there for any of it, and that just crushes me. What crushes me about The Last Dance is that what I do is every night I DVR. I watch Hulu, and I got Hulu, has live sports. I got Hulu, and do I get paid for that? Is that payola? Hulu, it gets live sports. Where's my cut? Anyway, I DVR the ESPN Sports Center, all of them, and I have to delete a bunch of them. But so I wake up every morning and watch Sports Center from the night before, and every Monday morning it's the same damn thing. Scott Van Pelt, I watch Scott Van Pelt, and the first 30 minutes of Sports Center are talking about The Last Dance, like it was a sporting event. They've got Michael Wilbon and Jackie Ramone of the Boston Globe talking about The Last Dance. They'll get like B.J. Armstrong this week interviewed about The Last Dance. They're treating it like a game happened last night. Let's now analyze it. It's a TV show, and I get it that everybody likes it. I mean, and I get why, and I'll watch it someday. I haven't watched any of it yet. I just remember the fact that Monday morning I can't watch sports, whatever there is. There's got to be something. But I don't want to watch a breakdown of a damn TV show if something happened 20 years ago, and I know who won those games. So I kind of resent that, just not a whole lot, but I resent it a little bit.
So Greg Doyle on Monday morning will take Korean baseball highlights over old replays of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen clips that we know who won. Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know who won in Korea. I'm interested. I mean, for the same reason they're showing it. It reminds me of ESPN back when it started, like in 1982 or 3, and they put Australian rules football on there. Round the clock, because that's all they had. That's all they could buy. And because there was like four channels on my TV, and ESPN's one of them, and I love sports, I watched Australian rules football because that's all they had. And so, yeah, Korean highlights, I'll watch those. And I'll watch the damn Last Dance stuff. I mean, I'm fascinated by it, too, not to the level that I'm going to, I don't watch it live. I think I've told you before, right? I don't watch much live. I like to tape stuff and DVR stuff. I'll bang out the whole, the series someday. But right now, I got more important things to do, like watching old UFC fights.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Real quick, before we go, Reggie Miller was on The Last Dance. I know you didn't watch, but I'm going to bring it up because we got a little tease of him this past week, and it looks like he's going to be, I think, involved or included in this upcoming Sunday, these final two episodes of the docuseries. There's another player, and of course that'll attract even more attention from Pacers fans and fans in our state, because I think most of us love Reggie Miller in those days of the Pacers. But there's a guy. Have you had, since being in Indianapolis, have you had an opportunity to talk, or I know you've written about Reggie Miller, obviously, but have you ever had a chance to connect with him, especially in your time at the Star?
Well, yes. And I've got a couple. I've got a Reggie Miller story I'm working on, well, that I would like to do, but he's got to play along with me. He's got to do it, talk to me, and he hasn't yet. And it's about the most beautiful story ever. It is. So I'm a Reggie Miller fan. I want to make that very, very clear. But the only time I've ever bumped into him, he wasn't very cooperative. And I get it. It's fine. It was the Final Four. I feel like it was the Final Four. It might have been the NBA Finals. I don't know where he would have been. We're courtside the day before a game. I think it was the Final Four, but I'm not sure he does that. So, maybe it's NBA Finals. Maybe it's a regional. I don't know. He was somewhere. We're watching teams practice on the court, and the broadcasters out there, the media that wants to watch are out there. And I walk up to Reggie, and I want to ask him about something, something. I was at CBS at the time, and I got one question out, and he just looks at me and goes, "I'm working here," and he was there to watch practice and to take notes and to be more informed on the telecast. So I got it and I walked away. That's the only time I've ever spoken to him in my life. So that's my working history with him. However, again, the story that I would like to do, if he'll ever talk to me about it, is and I wish I could say more. I mean, I could, but I'm just not going to do it. I want to save it for the story I write someday if I get.
Sure.
It's the most unbelievable. It's the most unbelievable thing you'll ever hear about a famous athlete. It's almost literally unbelievable. I can find it hard to believe what I've heard, but I do believe it, and because I have an eyewitness who was right there when it happened. So I got to get with him someday.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, I was running late today. Thanks for playing along. Sorry to delay your retired UFC, former UFC fight. Sorry to delay you from that. I'm joking. I know you've got productive work to do.
I'm not sure Douglas got the joke when I said, "Hey, you got to keep him in order." He goes, "Okay, I'll put you on hold now." I'm just joking.
Doug came in the studio. I'm going to put this on the air. Doug came in the studio over the commercial break. Of course, I text you. I said, "Greg, I'm sorry. I'm running behind." Doug comes in the studio and says, "Greg told me to tell you to stay on time, or we're late here." And I said, got it. So,
I'm so glad I brought that up, Matt, because I was teasing. I was teasing, but I could tell he thought I was serious. But your live stream has at least one more listener than it might normally. So I want to say hi, Whitney. I love you.
Absolutely. Hey, Greg, thank you so much. As always, we enjoy it and look forward to this segment each and every week.
Same here, Matt. Bye.
Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing, brings us the great Greg every week as we talk who knows what with Greg. Fun segment here on the program, and we'll have him again next Tuesday. All right, that is this segment in the books. We'll head to a commercial break. Man, we've had a lot jammed in this hour so far. Headlines, Trey Kaufman, Greg Doyle. Coming up next is new Christian Academy coach Hayden Casey. He'll lead the Warriors after taking over for Steve Kerberg. We're going to get to know young Hayden. He's going to be a great coach in the area, and he'll make his debut on the Hoosier Report coming up next. And I don't know that we'll get to Mike Pegram today, but stay with us. Coach Casey's next. We've got the senior spotlight as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. We're going to chat with new Christian Academy coach Hayden Casey coming up in just a moment. Also, we'll close today with our senior spotlight. Today, we're focusing on Marquez Jordan. He's a baseball player at Jeffersonville who, unfortunately, like so many others across the state and country, lost his senior season, spring sports, that is, due to the pandemic that we currently find ourselves in. I am really excited for our next guest. He's a good friend and a good guy, and he's a good young coach, and I think those in basketball may know him. Those around the area will know him soon because Hayden Casey is the new Christian Academy of Indiana boys basketball coach. He'll follow Steve Kerberg, who really set the benchmarks high. Coach Casey, welcome to the show and congratulations on the job.
Oh, thank you, Matt, and I appreciate you having me. And also just like to say thank you for all you've done for our area here recently, especially with all that's going on, whether it's your videos you post online or highlighting the seniors or new coaches. It's an honor to be on.
Absolutely. Coach, I've known you for some time. You've got a really good background in basketball, which we're going to talk about in just a second. But you've been really committed to this program, and you've been right there with Coach Kerberg in helping this thing go, and you guys have had some great talent to coach and work with, which is reflected in some of the success and the results that you guys have had. I know that you are thrilled to get this job, your first head coaching job. Like many in Indiana, it's really a dream to be a coach in our state. How does it feel to get the job, and how excited are you to get to work, whatever that is that you can, because of the COVID-19 issue we've got right now?
Oh, sure. I can't wait to get started. It will be tough with how we have to adjust this summer, but Christian Academy, since I started and just learning so much from Coach Kerberg and being so invested in the program now and now having a chance to lead it and continue the success that Coach Steve Kerberg brought to the program. And of course, those in the area know before he got to Christian Academy, they had some instability, and he really turned the program around, and I can't say enough about how much he taught me and the job he did there. So I'm just ready to get started and do my best to continue the success that he and others brought.
Now, when we talk about your background in basketball, I think people, you know, recognize you at Christian Academy. You're a teacher at the school. And so that kind of, as it should, that's first and foremost when people think about who you are as a basketball coach and why you're tapped to lead this program. But I think this is interesting. You've got a little tutelage in your background as well, not just from Coach Kerberg, but from Doc Nash out at Borden as well. You're from Borden, a native of Borden. That's where you went to school. And so when it comes to the 1A level of basketball, and really when it comes to coaching in general in Southern Indiana, you've had a chance to learn and interact and talk with both of them in many, many ways to help kind of develop your own style, how you're going to coach the game.
Oh, absolutely. I can't say enough about Coach Nash either. When I was ready to graduate from Borden, and I expressed to Coach Nash I wanted to get into coaching, and he said the best thing would be to get your foot in the door. I said, well, you know, I can start for Borden next year if you want, you know. And he said, no, you have to, you know, be away from the program for 3 years. You know, you're too close to some of the guys. And I said, well, do you have anybody in mind I could connect with? And he gave me one name, and one name only, and that was Coach Steve Kerberg. So I contacted him, and now 7 years later, here I am getting the varsity job. And I have to give a shout-out as well to Coach Jared Hill at Henryville. He's another coach. I student taught with him during my time in college, and I got to learn under him as well and see how he operated, and a few other coaches as well. But I've been blessed with some of the relationships I've been able to form.
Now, Coach Casey, because of the crazy time that we find ourselves in with this pandemic, we've interviewed a couple different new coaches and different sports here in the area, and we expect to have the new Jeffersonville coach on tomorrow when that's confirmed tonight at their school board meeting. It's an interesting deal because most of them are coming into a program where they don't have a classroom. They really don't know the kids. There's not connections already with some of the parents and others in that school community. I guess if there is one good thing about this for you is that this is kind of old hat. You know the ropes. You know the people. You've got the keys. You've got the classroom. Just a little bit of a delay because, at least in person, you can't do what you'd like to do right now. But I would say for the players and for you, there's stability here. They know you, you know them, and that's a little different from a lot of the other coaching changes normally in an off season, especially during a pandemic where you can't have any in-person really contact.
Oh, absolutely. And Coach Kerberg's system, whether it's his offense or defense, it's something, you know, that's been instilled there for years. And even though we lose, you know, seven seniors now, including all five of our starters, we got some guys coming back that I feel like we can really continue the success that we've had. And, of course, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, we've had three sectionals in 7 years. We're thankful to be able to say that. So while every new coach will add their same things, Coach Kerberg taught me so much, and a lot of that will continue on. And, of course, that will help during this transition with not having – as much summer ball and just everything that's going on to make it as seamless as possible.
Absolutely. We're talking with Hayden Casey. He just recently was announced as the new boys basketball coach at Christian Academy of Indiana. I want to close with this. It's been, you know, for a pandemic where there's not games and no activities and the state tournament canceled, Christian Academy's been in the news in a very positive light recently, because not only with your hiring, but also a couple players from your team, key seniors, T.J. Proctor to IU Southeast, Bailey Conrad's going to walk on at Division I Western Kentucky. Those are two outstanding players that very much deserve the opportunities to continue playing basketball that they have in front of them.
I can't say enough about those two guys. Two of the hardest workers I've ever had the privilege to coach. Bailey, my first head job at Christian Academy was the seventh grade job, coaching that middle school team, and Bailey Conrad was a seventh grader that year. So I've got to come up with him and get to know him over these past 6 years or so, and then TJ coming in later in his high school career. So being around both those guys for years and seeing how much work they put in, and they deserve everything that's going to come to them in their college careers. And I'm just happy to see them continue to have the chance to play.
Absolutely. Hayden Casey, new Christian Academy boys basketball coach. And I need to mention this. We've got to run, but your sister is the girls' head basketball coach at Christian Academy. That's a pretty unique combination. It's all Casey's at Christian Academy.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I guess as long as I get more wins than her, that would be a success in a year. But no, she's put in a lot of work. She deserves to have that title, and I can't say enough about the job she's done over the years. Just working up to have that job, and what she's going to do over the next few years, really trying to build that program back up and have some success there. So she's a great coach, and maybe I can be as good as her now that I got the job, so we'll see.
Absolutely. Hayden Casey, new boys basketball coach at Christian Academy. He's a young coach. He'll do a good job, and we look forward to working with you, Coach. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Absolutely, Matt. Thanks again for having me.
For sure. And let's jump into our senior spotlight. Today it's Marquez Jordan of Jeffersonville High School's baseball team. Marquez, a baseball standout for the Red Devils, also was a three-year member of the Jeffersonville basketball program as well, and of course a four-year member of the Jeffersonville baseball program. Also, when I think back about Marquez, he was a part of that really good time we had here in the area, which continues, you could say, even until today, with Little League Baseball. He was a part of some fantastic Jeffersonville-New Albany rivalry games, even going back to his young days. I can remember him as a baseball player. Marquez is on track to graduate with an academic honors diploma from Jeffersonville High School. And as far as his hobbies, his interests, Marquez enjoys spending time with family and friends. He's played travel baseball since he was 8 years old. Marquez is a veteran, you could say, in baseball here in the area. Wanted to give some shout-outs to different people that have been very helpful to him throughout his baseball career. His sister, Chelsea Jordan, she's a UofL softball alumni, the former softball coach at Jeffersonville High School as well. And she was a terrific softball player and obviously a big help to Marquez. Jeff Floyd, his travel coach, and Derek Ellis, of course, the Jeffersonville High School baseball coach. Marquez is the son of Kimberly Browning, and after high school, Marquez has plans to attend college. He will go to Ivy Tech to become a physical therapist or go to Vincennes University to play baseball, but he's undecided at this point on exactly which path that he is going to take. Today we say congratulations to Marquez Jordan, a great athlete all around and a really good baseball player at Jeffersonville High School. Marquez, we are so sorry you didn't get a senior year with the Devils on the baseball field, but hats off on a great career and lots of hard work, both on the field and in the classroom. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll be back on Wednesday, 11 o'clock. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, Josh Cook of the News and Tribune, and the new Jeffersonville basketball coach. When it's named tonight, confirmed tonight, we'll have that person with us Wednesday right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories, and thanks all of our senior spotlight sponsors, T.A. Jenkins, Mitch Craig Heating and Cooling, and UPSJobs.com/Louisville.